This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today is a Conversations with Carol show. What that means is that really no specific topic. I'm going to do the typical thing that I do on these Conversations with Carol show. I'm going to give you an update of the energy and how it really does impact the body, because whether we're consciously aware of it or not, we're energy beings first and then physical beings second. And another way to say it is that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and that is very true. The wonderful thing about understanding the energetic nature of who we are is that we can realize that in that energetic aspect of us, that we have absolutely no limitations, that truly the only limitations we experience in our life are the judgments that are placed on ourselves mentally, and also the judgments that are placed on what is the quality of life and what is a good life, and judgments on other people. So when we start looking at ourselves as energy beings, then we start to realize that there is really a world of endless possibilities, and that we have the potential to become anything beyond what we think we're capable of becoming. So I'm going to be doing that, but most important, what I'm going to be doing, because it is this Conversations with Carol Day, I'm going to be taking calls, and I hope lots of calls. So I encourage you to call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada. And then also the same number, 877-230-3062. That number is good for international callers as well. Just dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. So I'll talk a little bit about energy, but really it's all about you and taking your calls and answering your questions. And those calls can be about energy. It can be about health. It can be maybe a decision that you're looking at making. It can be about a relationship. Even though I'm a medical intuitive, that doesn't mean that intuition is so finely honed that I can't do anything other than that. And that's a wonderful gift of intuition, is that it can really offer a lot of insight on many, many different levels. I also want to invite you to go to my website, www.Reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R. I had to think about that, put my name tag on, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R, because I have over 28 different illnesses that are featured on my website. About the way that I look at them holistically as a medical intuitive, I've got things like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, candida, and allergies. And one of the things that I bring forward in each one of these different illnesses is that I find that what it really is saying is that it's reflecting the state of our immune system and really its ability to do its job preventing our body from potential illnesses, syndromes, or disorders. And illnesses are very holistic. Disease is a physical body. Syndromes means that there's a lot of different aspects of the human body that are involved in the dynamics of the discomfort that we're working with. And disorder means that it literally is a very specified thing, but as a result affects many, many other things in the body. So one of the things that I do with these different illnesses is that I know as a medical intuitive that what we experience in our physical body just is not what's going on in the physical body, meaning that any type of discomfort, any type of aches or pains, any type of illness, disease is an allopathic term that doctors use because it focuses, again, on the physical body and the pathology of it. But what I know as a medical intuitive is that illness is really many, many different layers. And I also understand in all the work, the 30 years I've been doing this work, is that we can heal on any level and make a difference at all levels. Again, that's because we're energy beings. So what I do in these different illnesses that I feature, I look at a holistic perspective. I give you a general idea, a general description from a conventional medicine perspective, a definition of what that particular illness is. I look at it psychologically and all of the hidden components behind it, because really, when we look at it, the way that the human body works in relationship to the energy body is that we get pre-illness or a disharmony in our energy field. And if that disharmony continues for a prolonged period of time, it can actually affect the physiology of the body, meaning the functioning of the body. So I look at the psychological contributors. I share how it looks in the energy field itself. The chakras, I'm going to be talking a little bit about chakras this morning and this energy dynamics we have going on. But chakras is this electromagnetic skeletal structure of who we are that really impacts vibrationally the memory of our cells and the electromagnetics of the physical body and even, to some extent, the activities of the cells of the body. Look at that. And then also, what role does your personality play in increasing the susceptibility to that specific illness itself? And then offer conventional treatments. I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not anti-doctor. So I offer those conventional treatments. And then I offer all the different alternative choices that have been found to be effective working with that particular illness itself. So a lot of information, just a composite, holistic perspective, a comprehensive perspective of a specific illness. So to learn more, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Put your cursor over webinars, click on downloads, and you will see the different illnesses that I've featured on my Your Health webinars. Now, the other nice thing about this is that there's a try before you buy. You can actually listen to an excerpt from the audio download of the actual webinar itself, or you can read a page of the printable PDFs that I offer on each illness. So again, lots of information. When you're there, just go explore. I have a lot of downloads from other webinars that I've presented, such as The Art and Science of Being Empathic, The ABCs of Weight Loss that I did with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, which I get lots of responses from all of you. Thank you for always welcoming her. She's just a wealth of information. So just a lot of information, a lot of downloads, a lot of opportunity to learn more about who you are. And part of the reason for that is the old ancient metaphysicians really believe that in order to heal ourselves, we have to know thyself. So again, www.ritberger.com. I always like to start these conversations with Carol's show, talking about the brief energy update, because we are energy beings and we may not even be consciously aware, meaning the mind may be so busy living our daily life, it doesn't even realize what's going on energetically. So this energy dynamics that we have that's constantly going on is always affecting us physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And right now, the energy is really emotionally tense. I've referred to this in other of my conversations with Carol's show this year. And the emotional intensity is really helping us clear out a lot of those deep-seated emotions that we have in relationships, in our relationships with other people. The second chakra is what I call the human emotion chakra. So the emotions and the charges, actually they're energetic charges we hold around our relationships in the emotions themselves, they actually store energetically in the vibration of the body. So we can, anyone who is able to see auras or feel auras or hear the vibrational frequencies can actually hear anomalies in it, meaning depletions, congestion, protrusions, blockages. But in the second chakra, being the human emotion chakra, this is a chakra that is directly related to holding the emotional charges and patterns in relationships with other people. This isn't the chakra that holds the energy in our relationship with ourselves, but is really reflective of those old emotional hurts and emotional patterns that we have in regards to our relationship. So at this point in time, it may be that you're finding that relationships you've had for a long time that maybe were really easy to be able to deal with, all of a sudden there's emotion that's coming up and they're becoming difficult to deal with. That doesn't necessarily mean that relationship is in jeopardy. It's just the way of the soul working in combination with the mind body to let us know that there are deep seated emotion that we are carrying from other relationships that are similar to this one. And what it's doing is the same thing the human body does when we're infected with some form of a bacterial infection, is that what the soul is doing is it's trying to bring these old emotional patterns to the surface. And it does that in the form of experiencing emotions. And we could be doing fine and going through the day and all of a sudden have this instant welling up of maybe some anger, and the brain's coming in and going, what, where did that come from? But it may be that a relationship, a conversation with someone else triggered that emotion specifically for the purpose of bringing it forward. And in doing so, kind of like the human body, when we have a bacterial infection, it creates fever to burn that infection out, and also to let you know inflammation's going on. It brings it to the surface a lot of times in the form of sweats or maybe hives or skin outbreaks or something like that. But what the body's doing is saying, this is not healthy for you. It needs to come to the surface. Let's get it out there. Let's dry it up. Let's deal with it. Let you be aware that we have something going on. Well, your soul uses emotions the exact same way. And your soul realizes that emotions do not make you ill. But if we have negative patterns of emotional responses, then we get a negative attitude. When we get a negative attitude, then as a result, we come in and we find that our perspective on us and our life really starts getting into a negative flow. And that negative flow creates an energy disharmony in the energy field. It impacts the chakras associated with the memories or the activities that are associated with that emotion. And as a result, we lose our harmony. Our body ultimately will experience it in maybe a general sense of not feeling well or aches and pains. And all this is the soul isn't punishing us by any means. It's just saying there's something inside of you that needs to come to the light of the day so you will be able to really look at it in a very holistic, kind of an arm's length perspective. Let it out. It's like having these, you know, little minor earthquakes every so often, the 2.3s and the 3.0s, so things, pressure doesn't build up to the point where ultimately we can become ill from the attitudes, the negative perspectives that we have, because both of those trigger two things, self-judgment and then also suffering. And as a medical intuitive, I've learned we can have negative emotions every day, and they really don't make us ill, but the suffering does. So that's the energy right now, is that second chakra. The beauty of chakras and the way they work. Now, there's a lot of, you know, we read about chakras. We look at them from a two-dimensional perspective. One of the things to remember is that the chakras, as we see in books, just isn't a spiraling vortex that basically is pointing outward through the front of the body. We have a mirror of that chakra on the back side of the body as well. So we're always taking in energetic, energy-carrying information via the chakras through the in front of us and also behind us. So the chakras themselves, instead of just being singular dimension and duality, meaning that they have a mirror of themselves in the back, they actually have a meeting place in the spine, and they have a meeting place in the spine and in the body around an endocrine gland. So now we start to see that chakras really aren't just that single dimension looking at them straightforward in that anterior, but there's also a posterior aspect to them, and there's a connection between the two that is tied to the chi, or tied to the pranic tube as it's called, or tied to the spinal, the central nervous system. So we're expanding the perception. When that second chakra starts getting increased in its vibration because it becomes stimulated, a lot of energy is being focused on it, all the emotions are coming up, that chakra actually increases its frequency both in the front and back, and takes that kind of that bowl, bell-shaped that it has, and it actually increases it. So now we're even more susceptible to receiving energy-carrying information or external stimuli, meaning that we interact with people different. And as that chakra increases its vibration, it actually reaches out energetically from the physical body larger, further away than the first and second chakra. So now we know that chakras have different dimensions to them, that they're actually threefold in their makeup, that they actually increase their frequency. Well, when that second chakra does, then the first chakra decreases its frequency, meaning it pulls itself in order to find balance. If the first chakra doesn't pull in enough to bring that second chakra back into balance, then the third chakra will decrease its frequency. So now the visual is We have the first chakra, the root chakra, down in the pelvic area, pulling itself in. We have the third chakra and the solar plexus around the adrenals and the kidneys and the digestive system pulling itself in. And what they're trying to do is rein in that second chakra and the emotional energy that we are experiencing. So we're not as vulnerable or susceptible to that external stimuli that can cause us to get into a pattern of self-judgment. And then once that second chakra pulls in, then that first and third chakra balance itself with it. Now we have balance and harmony in the energy field. If for any reason that second chakra pulls back out, the first chakra will do the same thing, repeat itself. If it can pull itself, the second chakra in, then what we have is we have harmony. So as we're looking at ourselves from that energetic nature, as with a physical body that is always seeking healing, that is always seeking perfection in the way that the body functions, the chakras are doing the same thing. And the purpose of that is we're energy beings first, physical beings second. And if we can maintain harmony and accord in our energy body, then our physical body can work in a way that it was designed to. So magnificence in when we start seeing this. The other thing is that chakras don't just point out either in the front or in the back. They'll actually take their, you know, little spiral vortice, meaning multiple chakras, and they'll look up and they'll look down and they'll look around. And what they're doing is they're looking for external information that can support, in the case of the second chakra, what we're feeling. In the case of the first chakra, that we belong, that we have relationships, that we can survive. And in the third chakra, it's really supporting our personal power and the decisions we make and the self-confidence. So chakras are very alive. I'll share a little bit more in the next segment, but I just wanted to let you know that the dynamics of what we're feeling right now with all of this tension, emotional tension, and these situations that are coming up with the relationships and everything, it's really a healing process. And if we can find a constructive way to allow those emotions to surface to the light of the day and to find expression in a way where we don't feel poorly about ourselves and we don't blame other people, then what we can do is we really can accelerate the healing of the physical body. So fascinating, and I wanted to share that. I'll talk a little bit more about second chakra when I get into the second segment. But right now, let's go in. And hi, Queen. How are you, sweet?
Good. How are you doing?
Hi, Queen. Line one.
Hello.
Hi, hon. How
hi.
Are you?
Doing great.
Good, good.
I have a question. I have acne.
Okay. Honey, can I get you to speak up just a tad? I must be a little hard of hearing here.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, golly, gee whiz, I can. This is good.
Okay.
We sound like a commercial. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Thank you for that, love.
I had to cut up the volume on my phone.
Oh, thank you very much.
I have an issue with acne.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm currently seeing a skin care specialist, and it's helping, but I don't know if it's something else I'm missing.
The fact that you're working with a skin care specialist is very good from dealing with it from that topical standpoint, and using, you know, whether it's medication or it's a topical cream to be able to dry it out. But one of the things that I find is that acne is another form of the immune system letting us know that there's an imbalance. There's something going on in the physical body that is actually causing this outbreak to occur. It's like it's pushing it to the surface. The other thing I picked up, sweet, when I was saying that is that the acne is two things. It's actually tied to adrenaline, the norepinephrine associated with stress. So you may find that you'll have more outbreaks when you're stressed. Again, it's part of your body trying to detox, trying to get these waste byproducts out to the surface. And then the second thing I pick up is it's around hormones. So
I had a hormone test back in November at a doctor, and she said that, you know, came back, everything was fine.
Right.
I don't know what all she tested, but she did.
Usually what they'll do with hormone tests is they're looking for estrogen, progesterone, testosterone.
Yeah, she took my saliva.
And those particular things. And the thing is that we can, and you do feel in the range. So I don't need to agree with the doctor, but to let you know that the doctor is accurate. So I'm not going to try to undermine that by the things I'm going to say. But I do understand that in the cycling in the female body, while the hormone test may show that they're okay, they're always in a state of dynamic change. And when you add stress to that dynamic change, my sense is that the acne is going to be more pronounced. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So the one thing that I can say to you with the acne itself, and I'm going to ask for an accuracy check, sweetie, is one of the areas where you're having acne is around the mouth area?
Yeah, my cheek, both sides.
Okay.
It's usually switch sides.
Yep, yep. So I'm going to take it. So what we have is we do have hormones that are in balance, but, of course, hormones are always in a dynamic change. When we get stressed, it actually stresses that hormone balance that may be in balance, and it asks us to maybe create a little more testosterone, which will decrease the estrogen or change the dynamic. So when I really look at the root of the acne itself, it is immune system, and my sense is most likely the real trigger is stress, changing the hormones that causes the eruption to come to the surface. The other thing is when I touch that stress and I ask about it being around the mouth area is that I want to, first of all, pull out my gold stars in my little box next to my microphone here and pull out some gold stars to say to you, good job, you're really beginning to find your voice. This is something that I know that you've worked on. My sense is the pattern is that when you find your voice, you have to be literally pushed against the wall to the point where it's just all more of a survival issue. Now what I'm finding is that you're just letting this come forward in a way where you're setting those healthy boundaries, those boundaries that aren't necessarily as porous, meaning that, you know, it's like loosey-goosey, as my mom used to say, is that one time it's like, okay, I'm going to set the boundary, next time I'm not, and I'm going to, and I'm not. So my sense is that what we have is we have some physical expression, something deep inside, an emotion that's being triggered that's needing to come to the surface. So having said all that, the emotion that I'm picking up is resentment. And resentment can come, it always does come through some form of outbreak in the physical body. That's what it feels like. It feels like it's actually tied to someone in your family. Well, they're really not in your family. They used to be in your family. That is kind of pushing the limits. Does that make sense? Are you dealing with an ex or a family member that you don't you don't communicate with very much that now you're communicating with?
No, pretty much not from my immediate family. No exes, and I'm single, so.
Okay.
But nobody in my family, I mean, it's the same. You know.
Okay. It feels like someone that you've interacted with and that you were close to. I'll leave it there and see if I can clarify it a little bit more. And then what it feels like is that it feels like you get put in a place of compromise. And I'm picking up the psychological compromise that is part of the acne and the resentment that's a part of it. So let me be with that just a moment, sweet, while I go into the physical body. One of the things with acne is because it really is an immune system response that could be, in some people, triggering an allergic reaction to something, a topical cream, a makeup. It may be an allergy that somebody's experienced internally. One of the best things we can do for acne is alkalize the body. And that means getting rid of sugar. It means getting rid of processed food. It means getting back to eating as close to nature as possible and being able to eat alkalized-based foods. I think that's going to help from the standpoint of supporting your immune system and then also restoring the pH in your body that doesn't feel like it has this acidity to it. Kind of a sourness, that's a word that comes up with it. That I now go back and this other person came back in the field around sourness and even a bitterness toward. Is there someone that you work with, that you've worked with for a while that's, I want to say gnawing at you. I don't know why these words are coming up, but they just are.
It's probably work related because I'm in a job that's kind of, you know, probably maybe a previous manager or something.
Male or female? I can't tell because male?
Female.
Female. Lots of masculine energy. I honestly could not tell whether I was dealing with a male or female because of the energy of this being. Did this person, I'm going to say it, step on your toes?
Yeah, it was, I no longer work under her, but it was very difficult working under her. And even recently she gave me a bad review, even though I'm not with her team anymore. So,
yeah. Are you, yeah, well, we don't know too, your body's getting rid of it. But there's the reason this came up when I was feeling it is there's something that's going on, honey, now that feels very emotionally similar to what I was talking about. And that's why I'd ask about a family or an ex or something like that. There was something that you were compromised and it left kind of a bitter taste in your mouth. That's kind of a little bit of a sour maybe a disposition toward yourself or towards something. And excuse me for the vagueness. I wish I could be more clear with it. But it feels like something's going on now that's bringing that old, kind of that memory, not old, 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 but that memory forward. And it just needs to get to the surface. It needs to come out. It's not healthy. You're a very kind, loving, compassionate being. And this resentment that you have inside, that is kind of festered there just isn't you, Queen. And I think that the gift of it is it's trying to bring it out so you can recognize you're a kind and gentle, compassionate person and that you're not this, you know, ogre or this whatever word comes up. I mean, it just keeps morphing when I touch it, the emotional charge behind it. It's that this is who you are, sweetie, and they were different core values. And I think what it's saying to you is don't compromise those core values.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying now.
Okay.
Last week I had a really bad breakdown, work related. I was at a debate of trying to leave the company and I felt like my current manager was trying to trap me in his current position or if I should transfer to a new department. So it was kind of, there was a little resentment with myself because I'm, you know, questioning.
Yeah.
What should I do now? I'm in a house that's about to be foreclosed on. I'm renting. So I've got all this stuff, you know, what do I move to
right.
next or, you know, so it's, yeah, now that you're saying it, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think what it's the ultimate process that we, you know, can look at and the goal of this is to really recognize your core values and when they get compromised and then, you know, look at healthy ways that you, I'm not worried about other people, honestly, with it, but how you can express yourself in a healthy way to express that this is not acceptable behavior. And I think that that helps with the acne aspect of it, and it helps you not feel bad about you and then get into that spiral of questioning yourself and then feeling trapped, and then it goes on and on and on. And I think that what we have is we have an opportunity to kind of look at an old pattern, sweetie, and just say, you know, been there, done that. What do I need to change? And don't worry about changing. Just ask the question, what do I need to change? And I think that's going to help. And then look at the diet, look at alkalizing, you know, working with the skin specialist. That's going to help. I think all of those things combined, the skin specialist and clearing it up, you're going to feel better about yourself, how you look. That's going to help with your self-esteem. So I think we're really on the right track. It just needed to come forward and be said in a different way.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are welcome. Oh, you are welcome. And the other thing is that you're, you know, kind of your mind said, you know, I'm just done with this, Carol. I need to walk away. But your soul said you have a wonderful opportunity. So I'm not sure I'd walk away from the job right now, sweet.
Yeah, it was kind of a battle of, you know, trying to.
Yeah, head and heart or head and gut or yeah. And that battle of head and gut actually will affect the immune system and it will actually create outbreaks, whether that's psoriasis or different things. So I think that we're on top of it. I think you're doing the right things. Let's just add a couple of other things and just let this go from an emotional standpoint. Stick with where you are for a little bit longer until you can gain clarity so you don't feel like you're jumping ship premature.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Well, I'm going to take other calls. I do have some callers on the line. Please, callers, hang tight. I will have some more call time available, but I'm going to go ahead right now, take a quick commercial break, come back, and then take your calls. This is a Conversations with Carol show. Thanks for joining me.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Now is your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining me. If you are just joining me, it's a Conversations with Carol show. And what that means is that I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me, call in. I'd love to share my medical intuitive skills with you and to be able to answer any questions. Again, as a medical intuitive, a lot of people think that all I need to deal with or want to deal with is medical issues or maybe different aches and pains or illnesses in the body. But the wonderful thing about intuition is that it really doesn't have any limitations. So I can look at decisions. I can look at relationships. I can look at, you know, anything, but what are you going to be when you grow up? I'm still struggling with that one tremendously. And I can tell you very honestly, if you ask me that question, I get very emotionally engaged in the answer. And then I really don't know, am I reading you or am I reading me? So again, call me in with your questions. I really would like to be able to share my intuitive skills with you. As I mentioned in the first segment, what we're doing is we're dealing with second chakra issues, and those second chakra issues and those emotions, and what I mean by issues is I'm really talking emotions, is that those second chakra emotional patterns that we're being asked to look at are really coming to the surface now. Then when you add that the fact that communication is very, very tense and it's difficult for us to really get our thoughts or our feelings or the emotional part of who we are expressed in a way that others hear it, is that adds to the tension of what's going on. But one of the things that I want to say is keep on doing it. Keep on expressing yourself emotionally. And if someone hurts your feelings, let them know you've hurt your feelings. And you can do that in a way of basically saying, you know what you just said hurts my feelings. Now, if we feel backed into the corner, we may say that in a more eloquent way from the standpoint that, you know, that whatever is going on, it's like you're really hurting my feelings. And then we may feel like we're attacking someone. And remember that we're energy beings. We're all connected. So basically what we deliver to other people and how we say say it, is really impacting us. And if we come out and we spew venom at someone because we're very angry with them and we set those boundaries based on that anger and that's been our pattern, they're not even going to hear us. It's like, oh, well, there she is angry again, or, oh, well, there he is angry again, or, oh, well, there he is not listening, or, oh, well, there she's not listening again, which really creates this deep gut angst and this kind of sourness and bitterness, as I was talking with Queen in my last segment, my caller, is that we have this sourness and this bitterness. And what that physically does is it actually changes the dynamics of the pancreas. And then we start finding that we lose that sweetness of life. We lose that positive perspective of who we are and our life in general. And all of a sudden now we become even more sour on life and sour on ourselves. And what does that do? That changes the dynamics of the pancreas. And the gift of the pancreas is that it secretes insulin that binds to glucose so our cells can get the nutrition that they need, and that glucose and the energy in the mitochondria of the cells, so then we can stay energetically and physically vital. And then what it really does is it changes the second aspect of the functioning of the pancreas from the standpoint that it actually reduces the, what is considered to be like a sodium bicarbonate. The pancreas not only releases the insulin to be able to help us with the nourishment that we need to be able to stimulate the cells and feed them and feel good physically, but it also secretes something that's a sodium bicarbonate that basically quells the stomach chime and cools it down. When I mean quelling it, it cools it down. So when that stomach chime and all of the acidity, the hydrochloric acid that's part of the breakdown, when it comes into the digestive tract, it doesn't burn our digestive tract up to the point now we have digestive issues. So what we get is we end up getting these different acidity in the physical body that can increase candida. It can change the dynamics of the immune system. Now it doesn't function properly. The acidity can get into the blood. Then now what we do is our whole system starts to feel like we don't feel well. And then the acidity can also get in the cerebrospinal fluid. And what that does is when we get too acidic, then we have cognitive issues, memory issues. We get that fuzzy thinking. So again, when we look at this sweetness of life and we look at the second chakra and the energetics and the emotions, when they come up, let's find a constructive way to be able to deal with them. And what one of the things that we can do is to really go in and be very kind to ourselves and be very truthful with ourselves, and, you know, to say to ourselves, darn, that hurt my feelings and I need to figure out how to deal with this. Something needs to change. That's really what this whole energy dynamics and the chakras and the cells and the physical body is saying to us. Something needs to change. And we have that free will to determine what needs to change, what we need to do to make it change, and also free will on when we want that to change. So again, wonderful, wonderful gifts of where the energy is right now. So let me jump in right now. Hi, Brian from North Carolina. How are you?
Hi, Carol. I'm doing really well. I'm so pleased to be able to speak with you. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, you are most welcome. My pleasure. How can I help you?
Well, I have a situation that, as the beginning of your show was talking about, getting opportunities for finding even deeper areas of opportunity to work with challenges and energy and emotion. And it was very interesting to hear the balance, counterbalance explanation of the chakras, because I never really associated, it seems like part of it might be a second chakra issue, but I feel it as a third and fifth chakra activation, really third, and that's where I've felt it oftentimes before when I have concern. So now I'm wondering if it's really third chakra, if the third chakra is working so hard to balance the second.
Actually, sweet, you are a great medical intuitive. That is very true. That is very true, because your third chakra being your personal power chakra, that grounding chakra that allows you to be that spiritual being having a physical experience, that chakra is all about self-confidence. It's about self-reliance, self-resourcefulness. All the self words are the third chakra. So that's very true. And when we get under, yeah, when we get undermined, either physically in the physical world around our safety and security, or our relationships have a lot of tension, and as you've eloquently said, challenges associated with them, it pulls that third chakra in. So now in that case in the dynamic suite is that your third chakra pulls in, and it's really in the decreasing of the frequency, doing what it's designed to do, because it's saying, you know, Brian, let's not look outside for all these answers, honey. Let's look inside. Let's look at what's going on. Are you okay? Are you capable of doing things? Can you really, you know, are you up to the challenge? Is it really your challenge? What do you want to do with the challenge? So when that decreases, then that second chakra reaches out and increases. The fourth chakra, the heart, tied to self-esteem, reaches out to increase. It actually, the fourth chakra, reaches out further beyond the second chakra, because it knows if it doesn't, you're going to go from not feeling good about yourself to not feeling good about everything else. So that heart chakra is out there just singing and ringing and increasing. But what it does is it's a push-pull. It's that tension. So absolutely accurate. So the third chakra, your boogaboo, is that your weak site in your body, sweet. And anytime you get out of balance, honey, that chakra is going to be where your energy and your body's going to say, woo, Brian, come on, let's reel it back in. Let's go internal. Let's look at the situation from different perspectives. You go up to the fifth chakra. You start self-talking. And you're doing good, by the way. Your self-talk's not nearly as acidic as it used to be. I think you've gotten tired of hearing yourself berate yourself or judge yourself, haven't you, sweetie?
I have, and I've also, part of it that getting tired of it is realizing, coming to the realization that it's not really working anyway. I've had it long enough. It's like, okay, this really isn't a successful model. It doesn't get me anywhere near where I want to be, so let's try something else. And, I feel like I'm really getting that opportunity because, I have an employment situation where I was, I was told earlier in the year that my contract would be renewed for a year, but the department's being reorganized and positions are being reclassified, and my contract was only extended for 4 months, which puts me at basically June 1, where then I will be in a position of needing to compete for a position that I have. I've already been doing for the last 18 mm-hmm. months. However, I do it remotely. I telecommute, and my intuition is that part of the requirements for this job, because of the way this company is, they can't tell people in advance of when they're going to post to the public this position being open, what it entails, what the salary is. So there's a lot of I don't know, mm-hmm. but I get the feeling that I might have to keep this job secure. I might have to move. That being said, 18 months ago, we moved from basically the West Coast to here in North Carolina, and mostly for my wife's employment and advancement. But mm-hmm. the way it all went together, it really felt like, I told people, the way this has gone together so quickly, it feels like, you know, stories I've read, you know, of other people's lives, where it was like, the universe just conspired to perfectly make everything work. So I know that being here is was right and perfect, and but I've never really divined what being here for me was about beyond supporting my wife and being able to do this job. But it feels like there's something more I can do here. So the practice I'm at is really living my past expression of having areas of I don't know, like I don't know if I'm even going to qualify for this job. I don't know what the salary is, if it justifies moving back. I don't know, is to generate stories. And most of those stories are not happy stories.
Right.
And rather than, you know, now living with the opportunity of I don't know, and being on the excitement side of trusting that the universe is a safe place and it conspires to support my highest and best good. So I really feel like the place I'm in, and I'm just calling for hopefully some confirmation in that I'm divining this as that's what that opportunity is. It's more about being able to be in a place of trust so that it's open to, that there is something there. there is a net one way or another.
Well, there is. There is. And boy, can I relate to the storytelling? I mean, we share the same personality color from the standpoint that what we do is it's like we touch a spider web and then we want to reconstruct the entire thing. We're not sure if it's right. So what we do is, and then the real thing that can be very inspiring, but most often is detrimental, is that self-talk that we have. We start really second guessing ourselves, and that can be, you and I understand this, it can be mind-bending from the standpoint that after a while we really lose touch with even what the original problem was because it becomes so much bigger. So having said all that, I can lament with you and I can relate to you 100%. But the most important thing is that when our personality gets in that place, the thing that undermines us the most isn't the judgmental part, where we start to question, oh my gosh, did I make a mistake? All those things. Those parts, we're very well equipped neurologically and physiologically able to deal with. What really gets you and I, Brian, is that self-doubt. So one of the things that, in when I work with personality, one of the best things that we can do as a personality color is we've got to ground ourselves. And the best way to do that is to go back to the basics. So I'm going to throw this out. Go back to your basics. Put together a skills analysis. What are you good at? What do you like? So what are you good at? What do you like to do? What do you really like to do? And what are you really good at and like to do? It literally is a multiple stage situation. And within that dynamics, you know, what are you good at? Then we look at our skills. Maybe we're effective communicators. Maybe we're effective writers. Maybe whatever it may be. So that's the skill part of us. What do we like to do comes in, and then that brings in kind of that emotional part. Are we really doing what we like to do? Answer may be yes in your cases, it feels like. What do you really like to do? Then we start getting deeper and saying, you know, maybe I need to look beyond where I am and take these skills and what I like to do or really like to do, and then ask myself, is there anything within the organization that I could use my skills that I really like to do? And then that opens up the world of possibilities. And then when we go to the final one, what do I really like to do and I'm really good at? Then we get to evaluate where we are from a very clear perspective. And my sense is that when where you are, and really in this whole scheme of things, is you're really at that place. What do I really like to do and what am I really good at? And I think some of the questioning is while the job puts money in your pocket, there's something that's missing in it that isn't giving you that personal satisfaction that you're looking for. And it isn't a bad job, but there's just, it feels to me, something missing. So what I might suggest, a long way of doing this, this is our personality. My God, we can take a simple thing and make it into a 45-minute conversation. But in this process is, once you do that, start looking around in the organization and seeing if there's other areas that you can use what you're really good at and what you really like to do, and see if there's other opportunities so you don't feel, because it's really important to your personality and mine, anytime we feel trapped, sweet, and we don't feel like we have any freedom, that hamster wheel goes faster and faster, our mind spins faster and faster, and then we start feeling like we are so trapped we can't get anywhere. That process works very well for our personality color. And if you start looking around the organization, just seeing what options are out there, are there other departments, or there's this, or is there an opportunity that maybe you hadn't really seen, that it isn't so much competing with your own job but making a new job or something. It just, it helps you and I so much to get out of that spiraling that we get into. So I would suggest that. I can tell you, you are not to move. Now, fascinating that I said that way, because usually I kind of go and I'll, you know, go with someone's energy, and if they're confused, I'm confused. If they're waffling, I'm waffling and everything. But the reality of it is that my sense is, when I said it so strongly, is that what you move to that area to do in team with your wife, you haven't really completed yet. And my sense is that the reason that you moved is still very solid. It's just that it hasn't really fully come to expression. And that's why deep down inside when I said that, something inside you says, no, I'm not going to move. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does. So that really, that helps me. Thank you for anchoring. I feel like that because I haven't felt like this area has, I have opened to what this area is for me,
mm-hmm.
At a larger thing, that there must be something else. But it also helps with that because this area for my wife is, if things don't work out or work in a certain way, she has a concern that there's no other reason why she'd be here because all her family is on the West Coast. But part of that is I'm really excited actually about growth that she's been making in the last 18 months due to being out here and adjustments that she's made. That I know if we are able to stick that out, she is going to blossom into so much more wonderful,
right.
A place of her own self-expression our communication before we got married, and not to sound egotistical about it, but that she really saw those things in my steadfastness and my spiritual beliefs and way mm-hmm. of being and not necessarily following a high-dollar career and not being with the family. I committed to being a dad. And
right.
She really appreciated that from before we had children. I made a commitment to having children before we married. And I feel like this is the being here. There's something about that. I mean, she started massage school, which is very different than being a teacher for developmentally
right.
challenged children. So it just that I appreciate that confirmation because it feels
yeah.
like staying here, even though it would be so much more comfortable potentially, even though the discomfort of moving again is in the short term doesn't seem very fun.
Right, right.
It doesn't feel like it's just hunkering down and surviving to stay here either, that there is something, I know it's something for her and I'm here to support that, but I know that I've felt that there's, to be able to do that, there's something opening here. I appreciate that, especially from the personality type. I had a dream where things were kind of in black and gray scale.
Right.
And I got towards the end of a trail and it was like, and then the reveal was potentially going to happen. There was this barrier. Was I going to make it through or not? And then yellow gold orbs showered down around me.
Right. Well,
and I felt like it's okay.
Yeah, it is. And again, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the move in the future, honestly, and I'm not waffling by any means by anything you said. Right now, it's just not right for you. It's not
yeah.
right for both of you. And I do, like you, I do believe that there is something bigger that is part of this whole process. And I think that in the environment that you're in, it will allow you to explore the potential to even create something, the two of you, to create something in a way that will allow you to do it where, honest to goodness, it doesn't feel like the West Coast may be quite as user-friendly when it comes to that. So again, as you started opening up and sharing things, I could feel your energy starting to reach out beyond your current job and saying, okay, what other possibilities are there? Where are my skills? Where can they be used? What is she doing? Where are her skills that can be used? What is the bigger picture of what's going on? And I think that's why I was so clear, as you're clear deep down inside, that right now is just not the right time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, but I do understand, the dilemma, and I, you know, I have great empathy for you. And I also have great, excitement that I found another one of my personality colors walking this world. There's not very many of us in the personality world. And when we find each other, it's like, woohoo!
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, somebody understands me. So anyway, light and love to you, my love. And, you know, just when you get in the self-doubt, go back to touching with your core and then moving forward.
Super. Thank you so much, Carol. I love you.
You are most welcome. Love you too. All right. So very quickly, what are some of the things that we can do to get us through this, you know, time right now that we're in with all this second chakra? Most important thing, When you find yourself judging yourself, let it go. If your negative self-talk isn't something you would say to your worst enemy, let it go. Show yourself the same tolerance, the same patience, the same love, the same compassion that you do everyone else. And most important, this is part of the process. It is a part of learning, and it is the way for us to learn to love ourselves. Thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure to spend my Wednesdays with you. Please join me next week back on the Carol Reitberger Show on CTR Contact Talk Radio. Have a wonderful week. See you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.